there, everyone, and welcome to Leap of Faith Podcast. I'm Lorraine. I'm your host, and today is Tuesday. I missed yesterday because my husband was home for Columbus Day, and so we were out running errands and getting some stuff done. So I apologize. I missed yesterday, but we will make up for today. We will do episodes 99.2 and 99.3 in one set here, and those are chapters 7 and 8. In Judges. I will give you your Bible verse after we pray, and then we'll dive right in. Jeremiah is on vacation with his family, so I hope they're having a good time, and we will probably see him next week. This is a busy time now. We're starting to get into fall, and lots of stuff going on. But we will keep, reading through the Bible. This is what God wants us to do. God has intended us to do. And so let's be obedient like we're supposed to be. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, today we thank you. We come to you with grateful, gracious hearts. We love you so much. And we're thankful for what you do, what you provide, and how we can put all of our trust in you to take care of everything, all of our needs, all of our concerns, everything, Lord. We just are so amazed that you can handle all these things. But you are God. You are the Alpha and the Omega, and we know that you are the beginning and the end, and we are just thankful that you are in charge. But of course, we are most thankful for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. It is his sacrifice on the cross, the blood that he shed, for our sins, Lord. We are thankful that you sent him to this earth as man to take away our sins. And we don't deserve it. We don't earn it. We don't do anything for it. It was a gift from you and a gift from him. So thank you so much. We thank you for the salvation that we get and the promise of heaven. Lord, I'm asking for blessings over Jeremiah and his family. Watch over them. Keep them safe. Keep them protected. And of course, hopefully they're having a good time. I'm sure they are. We look forward to seeing them next week. We lift up your chosen people of Israel, Lord. Right now, in October of 2023, that's when all this is going down, we are praying for peace in Israel. We are praying for your holy people to be protected in such a way that it can only come from you, that you will get all the honor and all the glory. We turn to you and we put it all in your hands, Lord. It is awful what is going on over there, and we pray for an end to this, that their enemy will be defeated, just like we're reading now in your Bible. We pray that you will stand by them and deliver them from this evilness. Lord, I am thankful for those who are out there listening. I pray over each and every person who has joined us in this journey. I thank you for them, and I pray for more. I pray that more will come to listen to your word. It is a gift. It is so precious to us that we get to read your Bible every day. It is amazing to be exposed to your goodness, your kindness, your love, and your magnificence. And so thank you for giving us this manual to guide us through this life. And Lord, I pray for each and every person out there. Just give them what they need, when they need it, according to what your will is, Lord, always. We invite you into this time. Clear us of our minds, our hearts, our thoughts. Just help us to be in your word and anoint it and expose to us exactly what it is that you want us to know. Reveal to us what you want us to know. Lord, take us where you want us to go. Let us meet the people you want us to meet. Let us say the words you want us to say, and keep us out of your way. In Jesus' name, amen. And Lord, thank you for quieting my computer because it was really humming for a second there. So thank you. I'm not sure if I've used this verse before. I think I have. But it's a good one. It's Proverbs 10, because today is October 10th, and it's the first verse. A wise child brings joy to a father, A foolish child brings grief to a mother. You know, that's pretty cut and dry, right? You know, a wise child brings joy to a father. And that is so true. A child who is doing what they're supposed to do, making good choices. But man, a foolish child brings grief to a mother because the mother gets blamed for everything. Everything that goes wrong with a kid is all on the mother. Everything that goes right, all on the dad. That's what happens. But no, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. But it is real. You know, a foolish child does bring grief to a mom. They do. All right, let's dive right in. I'm going to use my readers because I got my LASIK on Friday, and now I'm back to distance vision, which means my close-up is not as good as it used to be. So I'm back to this. I know I'm looking at myself on my screen. I look like an old granny. Oh, wait, I could be an old granny. All right, episode 99.2. I have not pre-read it, and I'm just going to read right through to 7 and 8. Gideon defeats the Midianites. So Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and his army got up early and went as far as the spring of Herod. The armies of Midian were camped north of them in the valley near the hill of Moreh. The Lord said to Gideon, "You have too many warriors with you. If I let all of you fight the Midianites, the Israelites will boast to me that they saved themselves by their own strength. Therefore, tell the people, whoever is timid or afraid may leave this mountain and go home." So 22,000 of them went home, leaving only 10,000 who were willing to fight. But the Lord told Gideon, "There are still too many. Bring them down to the spring, and I will test them to determine who will go with you and who will not." When Gideon took his warriors down to the water, the Lord told him, "Divide the men into two groups. In one group, put all those who cup water in their hands and lap it up with their tongues like dogs. In the other group, put all those who kneel down and drink with their mouths in the stream." Only 300 of the men drank from their hands. All the others got down on their knees and drank with their mouths in the stream. The Lord told Gideon, "With these 300 men, I will rescue you and give you victory over the Midianites. Send all the others home." So Gideon collected the provisions and ram's horns of the other warriors and sent them home. But he kept the 300 men with him. The Midianite camp was in the valley just below Gideon. That night, the Lord said "Get up, go down into the Midianite camp, for I have given you victory over them. But if you are afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant Purah. Listen to what the Midianites are saying, and you will be greatly encouraged. Then you will be eager to attack." So Gideon took Purah and went down to the edge of the enemy camp. The armies of the Midian, Amalek, and the people of the east had settled in the valley like a swarm of locusts. Their camels were like grains of sand on the seashore, too many to count. Gideon crept up just as a man was telling his companion about a dream. The man said, "I had this dream, and in my dream, a loaf of barley bread came tumbling down into the Midianite camp. It hit a tent, turned it over, and knocked it flat." His companion answered, "Your dream can mean only one thing. God has given Gideon, son of Joash, the Israelite, victory over the Midian and all its allies." When Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, he bowed in worship before the Lord. Then he returned to the Israelite camp and shouted, "Get up, for the Lord has given you victory over the Midianite hordes." He divided the 300 men into three groups and gave each man a ram's horn and a clay jar with a torch in it. Then he said to them, "Keep your eyes on me. When I come to the edge of the camp, do just as I do. As soon as I and those with me below, as soon as I and those with me blow the ram's horns, blow your horns too, all around the entire camp and shout, 'For the Lord and for Gideon.' It was just after midnight, after the changing of the guard, when Gideon and the 100 men with him reached the edge of the Midianite camp. Suddenly, they blew the ram's horns and broke their clay jars. Then all three groups blew their horns and broke their jars. They held the blazing torches in their left hands and the horns in their right hands, and they all shouted, "A sword for the Lord and for Gideon." Each man stood at his position around the camp and watched as all the Midianites rushed around in panic, shouting as they ran to escape. When the 300 Israelites blew their ram's horns, the Lord caused the warriors in the camp to fight against each other with their swords. Those who were not killed fled to places as far as Beth Shitta near Zerera, and to the border of Abel Mahola near Tabith. I'm sorry if I mispronounced those. Then Gideon sent for the warriors of Naphtali, Asher, and Manasseh, who joined in chasing the army of Midian. Gideon also sent messengers throughout the hill country of Ephraim, saying, "Come down to attack the Midianites. Cut them off at the shallow crossings of the Jordan River at Beth Bara." So all the men of Ephraim did as they were told. They captured Oreb and Zeb, the two Midianite commanders, killing Oreb at the rock of Oreb and Zeb at the wine press of Zeb. And they continued to chase the Midianites. Afterward, the Israelites brought the heads of Oreb and Zeb to Gideon, who was by the Jordan River. Gideon kills Zeba and Zalmunna. When the people of Ephraim asked Gideon, "Why have you treated us this way? Why didn't you send for us when you first went out to fight the Midianites?" And they argued heatedly with Gideon. But Gideon replied, "What have I accomplished compared to you? Aren't even the leftover grapes of Ephraim's harvest better than the entire crop of my little clan of Abiezer? God gave you victory over Oreb and Zeb, the commanders of the Midianite army. What have I accomplished compared to that?" When the men of Ephraim heard Gideon's answer, their anger subsided. Gideon then crossed the Jordan River with his 300 men, and though exhausted, they continued to chase the enemy. When they reached Succoth, Gideon asked the leaders of the town, "Please give my warriors some food. They are tired. I am chasing Zeba and Zalmunna, the kings of Midian." But the officials of Succoth replied, "Catch Zeba and Zalmunna first, and then we will feed your army." Well, that's kind of rude. So Gideon said, "After the Lord gives me victory over Zeba and Zalmunna, I will return and tear your flesh with the thorns and briars from the wilderness." From there, Gideon went up to Peniel and again asked for food, but he got the same answer. So he said to the people of Peniel, "After I return in victory, I will tear down this tower." By this time, Zeba and Zalmunna were in Karkor with about 15,000 warriors, all that remained of the allied armies of the east, for 120,000 had already been killed. Gideon circled around by the caravan route east of Noba and Jogbeha, taking the Midianite army by surprise. Zeba and Zalmunna, the two Midianite kings, fled, but Gideon chased them down and captured all their warriors. After this, Gideon returned from the battle by way of Heres Pass. There he captured a young man from Succoth and demanded that he write down the names of all the 77 officials and elders in the town. Gideon then returned to Succoth and said to the leaders, "Here are Zeba and Zalmunna. When we were here before, you taunted me, saying, 'Catch Zeba and Zalmunna first, and then we will feed you your exhausted army.' Then Gideon took the elders of the town and taught them a lesson, punishing them with thorns and briars from the wilderness. He also tore down the tower of Peniel and killed all the men in the town. Then Gideon asked Zeba and Zalmunna, "The men you killed at Tabor, what were they like?" "Like you," they replied. "They all had the look of a king's son. They were my brothers, the sons of my own mother. As surely as the Lord lives, I would kill you if you hadn't killed them. Turning to Jether, his oldest son, he said, kill them. But Jether did not draw his sword, for he was only a boy and was afraid. Then Zeba and Zalmunna said to Gideon, be a man, kill us yourself. So Gideon killed them both and took the royal ornaments from the necks of their camels. Gideon's sacred ephod. Then the Israelites said to Gideon, be our ruler. You and your son and your grandson will be our rulers, for you have rescued us from Midian. Sorry. But Gideon replied, I will not rule over you, nor will my son. The Lord will rule over you. However, I do have one request, that each of you give me an earring from the plunder you collected from your fallen enemies, the enemies being Ishmaelites, all wore gold earrings. Gladly, they replied. They spread out a cloak, and each one threw in a gold earring he had gathered from the plunder. The weight of the gold earrings was 43 pounds, not including the royal ornaments and pendants, the purple clothing worn by the kings of Midian, or the chains around the necks of their camels. Gideon made a sacred ephod from the gold and put it in Ophrah, his hometown. But soon all the Israelites prostituted themselves by worshiping it, and it became a trap for Gideon and his family. That is the story of how the people of Israel defeated Midian, which never recovered. Throughout the rest of Gideon's lifetime, about 40 years, there was peace in the land. Then Gideon, son of Joash, returned home. He had 70 sons born to him, for he had many wives. He also had a concubine in Shechem, who gave birth to a son, whom he named Abimelech. Gideon died when he was very old, and he was buried in the grave of his father Joash at Ophrah in the land of the clan of Abiezer. As soon as Gideon died, the Israelites prostituted themselves by worshiping the images of Baal, making Baal Berith their god. They forgot the Lord their God, who had rescued them from all their enemies surrounding them. Nor did they show any loyalty to the family of Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, despite all the good he had done for Israel. Well, that's not good. So, I just highlighted just a few things in the second part of it. The Lord said to Gideon, if I let all of you, if you have too many warriors, he says, if I let all of you fight the Midianites, the Israelites will boast to me that they save themselves by their own strength. So he's cutting down the size of the army because he wants to make sure that it's him that gets the glory. It's not the Israelites doing it for them. It's him. It's God. So they chopped down from 22,000 to 10,000. There are still too many, God says. Bring them down to the spring, and he does this little test, and out of this 10,000, only 300 of the men drank from their hands. The others got down on their knees. So the Lord told Gideon, with these 300 men, I will rescue you and give you victory over the Midianites. So he kept 300 men with him. And then the Lord says to him that night, get up and go down into Midianite, because I'm giving you victory over the camp. And so, but he says, you know, but if you feel a little bit weary of it, go ahead and go down, listen in on the conversation and see what you hear. Excuse me. So Gideon takes Purah and down to the edge of the camp, and he's listening to this guy tell about a dream about the barley comes tumbling down into the Midianite camp, hits the tent, and turns it over. So his companion says, your dream can mean only one thing. God has given Gideon, son of Joash, the Israelite, this victory over Midian and all its allies. So there's been a premonition by somebody. It's been interpreted. And, of course, Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation. He vowed to worship God. And he says, get up He's getting the camp ready. Let's go. God has given you victory over the Midianites. So he's, you know, gives them the instructions about blowing the horn. And so it was just after midnight. It was just after midnight. This is in 19. That Gideon and the 100 men with him reached the edge of the Midianite camp. Suddenly they blew their horns. And of course they startled the Midianites, the other two groups of guys, they blew their horns. And those, so there was this panic, and they started killing each other. And so the Midianites were killing each other. Then those that were not killed fled to places as far away as Beth Shitta, near Zerera, and to the border of Abel Mahola, near Tabith. Then Gideon sent for reinforcements and sends out messengers through the hill country. Come down, help attack. God's given us, you know, victory. And then, I'm sorry, I'm just kind of repeating everything over, but this is what I'm getting out of this, that, you know, God gave Gideon victory. And then, you know, he says, you know, they're tired, they're hungry, they stop, they try to get some food. The officials say, catch Zeba first and Zalmunna, and then we'll feed your army. And of course, you know, Gideon's saying, no, and we're going to come back and we're going to, you know, torture you with your, tear your flesh. And then he finds out at the end, he asks Zeba and Zalmunna, who were the men killed at Tabor? What were they like? They were just like you. And he says, they were my brothers. And if you hadn't killed my brothers, I wouldn't be killing you. And so he kills them.
Gideon made a sacred ephod from the gold that he got from the earrings. That's in 27. And throughout the rest of Gideon's lifetime, for 40 years, there was peace in the land. I don't know how old he was. And then Gideon, son of Joash, returns home. Oh, he had 70 sons. He had many wives. Gideon died when he was very old. Doesn't say when. He was buried. But as soon as Gideon dies, the Israelites prostitute themselves and they start worshiping the images of Baal, making Baal Bereth their god. You know, and they didn't show loyalty to the family of Gideon despite all the good he had done. So there they are. They're backsliding again. So be interesting to see what happens in chapter 9 tomorrow. Well, that's it for today. Thanks for listening to two chapters instead of just one. But I'm not going to close out until I give you the opportunity. If you have not made Jesus Lord of your life, this is your moment. If you want to become a follower of Christ, I will say the prayer, and you can say it with, if God is calling you, this is your moment. And it's not about me or the prayer. It's about your heart and your relationship with God. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, today I put my trust in you. I am not perfect and know that I have sinned against you. Please forgive me. I thank you for the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. It's his perfect and spotless blood that covers all of my sins, past, present, and future. On this day, I accept him as my Lord and Savior into my heart and will live my life for him. Thank you for my salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. If you said that prayer for the first time, congratulations and welcome into this wonderful family of Christ. You're a brother or sister, you're adopted in, and it's amazing. We always say, mark it in your Bible under today's reading if you want. Mark it on your calendar, in your phone, however you're going to remember that today is your day. And you got saved. And now it's time to start living for Jesus. So we say, get to a pastor, get to a church, find somebody who is seasoned and can answer your questions. And then once you get involved with a church,
always volunteer, become part of a ministry, so many different ways to join a Bible study. There's so many ways to get involved and just be proactive in your Christian life. And we'd love to hear from you. If today was your day, you can email us, Lorraine at leapoffaithpodcast.org or Jeremiah at leapoffaithpodcast.org. We'd love to hear from you. You can message us on Facebook and Instagram, however you want. We'd love to hear from you. So that's it for today. Always good, always wonderful to be here doing this Bible study with you. And I guess we'll see you tomorrow. So take care. God bless you, and I'll see you then.